Okay, my presentation this afternoon is a little bit different. We're not going to talk about any particular studies, but just kind of give an overview of, from Texas High Plains perspective, the situation with Palmer amaranth. And in our area, Palmer amaranth has always been the number one weed problem. I guess I think it about as soon as people started growing crops in the early part of the 20th century, it was their number one weed they had to deal with. And as of to date, and that's as of today, we really haven't had any documented resistance to glyphosate reported in our area. So I hope we can continue that. It's kind of interesting over time how weed problems changed. I dug through our library and found the proceedings of the Southern Weed Science Society meeting in 1980. The Weed Loss Committee lists the 10 most common and troublesome weeds in each state. And in 1980, Palmer amaranth was the number 9 weed in Arkansas. Didn't even make the Georgia list. It was number 10 in North Carolina, but number 1 in Texas and Oklahoma. So I think producers in our area and our research for years has really been directed towards Palmer amaranth control. I picked this date. Dudley Smith and some colleagues at A&M in 1994 did a pretty extensive survey across Texas as far as weed problems, herbicide used, and growers' practices. To me, this date was fairly important because this was prior to the Roundup Ready era coming along. So in 1994 crop season, Texas producers listed pigweed species, again, predominantly Amaranthus palmeri as their number one problem. Then perennials such as Johnson grass, silverleaf nightshade, and you can read the list here of the problems that were weeds in Texas. And I really think as Roundup Ready came on the scene, most producers saw it as a solution to numbers 2 through 14 more than number 1. I think their programs that we're currently using were doing a pretty good job on Palmer amaranth. It was just the perennials and the broadleaf weeds that couldn't be controlled with the current herbicides that were really causing the real problems, especially a lot of the perennial weeds. They're just getting worse over time. And this is kind of reflected in the herbicides that were used in that same era. Again, Treflan, Prowl, the DNAs dominated, were used on a tremendous number of acres. Caporals, Diuron, some of the pre-emerges were used to broaden the spectrum a little bit to control weeds that Treflan or Prowl didn't control. There was very little, most of the glyphosate used then was in spot sprayers. Some MSMA grass herbicides were used, and others trying to get at some of those weeds that weren't controlled with the DNAs. If you look at kind of how the acres were treated, I think this shows what people were doing with the tools they had to try to control Palmer amaranth. Essentially, all the acres was treated with a pre-plant incorporated herbicide. Pre-emerges were more limited, again, not as effective in dryland situations, but used a lot of times in irrigated situations. Again, compared to most of the cotton belt back then, there was very little post-direct, almost no true post-emergent work was done. Our weed problems really just didn't lend themselves to post-direct work. It's just we never had the luxury of having the difference between weeds and cotton size. During the weeds were bigger than the cotton, so it was hard to post-direct under those situations. Really what allowed the post-emerge weed control was spot treatment. There was spot sprayers or some type of selective application of Roundup in season, especially on the perennials. Very little lay-by chemicals were used, and then cultivation was a very commonly used practice. According to their survey, an average of a little over 3 cultivations per season. Okay, I think we've Palmer amaranth has been ably described today in terms of its how fast it grows, how competitive it is, how much seed can be produced. I guess in our area, the good news always would we had a wide range of pre-plant, pre-emerge herbicides, even some posts that we could use in addition to glyphosate to control Palmer amaranth. Again, I think the glyphosate resistant issue has been well discussed. I won't spend a lot of time on that. Again, I guess a few years ago, the horseweed mare's tail was the first one that really impacted cotton producers, and then more importantly now, the Palmer amaranth. Again, in our area where this is such a terrible dominant weed, I mean, we have as much to fear from it as anywhere, so we certainly want to try to avoid those problems. In terms of the transgenics planted state by state, the difference in 2000 and 2009, again, Texas, along with probably some of the other western states, California and Arizona, trailed a little bit in the total domination, I guess, of the Roundup Ready transgenic varieties, where most states were already 90-95% by early 2000s and then pretty much 100% now. But Texas has come up quite a bit from 2005 to 2009. Again, I think our dry land, low input acres keep that from being 100%. But the flex has certainly been well accepted in our area and works very well. And this represents, again, just kind of the same thing there. The Texas, California, New Mexico states that were lagging a little bit have really jumped up in terms of a Roundup Ready acres planted. I guess some similarities, but a lot of difference in High Plains cotton compared to the rest of the belt. Again, we have a lot of acres, a lot of variability in production in terms of yield due to irrigated versus dry land conditions. I think the one thing that makes this a little more challenging in terms of controlling weeds is the fact we have smaller cotton that a lot of acres never come close to closing the canopy. So we can have weed coming up from April to September, October almost. So it's not unusual to see a late season flush of pigweed come up in late August or September with some big rains, and then you're certainly adding seed to the situation all the time. Again, we're pretty much a cotton monoculture, except when crops are hailed out and replanted to something else, so we don't have the opportunity to rotate with other crops to use other chemistries that might help us along the way. I think the thing that when Roundup Ready cotton first came out, and I think there was initial interest in Roundup only systems, and I think our trials as well as the experience of growers showed them pretty quickly that just didn't work very well. We just had too much pigweed pressure, that if you couldn't get there on a timely basis, especially with the limitations on growth stage, there were just a lot of near disasters where people that forego their yellows and tried to go with the Roundup and didn't get there on time, or in the case of a post-direct, the weeds were too big to get an effective post-direct. They just had real problems. So I think they quickly saw that need go back to more of what they were doing before. And I think the value in our area has always been the Treflan Prowl DNA products have certainly always have a lot of value for their cost. We can figure out ways to put those out and incorporate them, even if we're not in a conventional till situation, maybe be strip till or using irrigation to incorporate those materials. And again, our producer has never really thought of Treflan or Prowl as being a grass herbicide. We don't have much grass, but it's certainly the pigweed material of choice. As far as rates, I think in the past, people sometimes tried to shave rates a little bit, worried about root pruning or crop safety, but I think especially with minimal incorporation, that's tended to be the norm now. People need to push the rates to the top of the rate range for their particular soil type to get the good out of that. And again, I think this is what producers saw, that if you go out there and don't put out a yellow and think I can control the weeds from a post standpoint, that's just a lot of weeds to control. And even though we're a fairly dry climate, we can get a lot of rain early in the season. Have windy conditions, you can't get out there and spray, so I'd much rather have the situation where we have the Treflan out here and we're controlling pigweed escapes versus trying to control every weed that can be the situation here. So I think people quickly saw that wasn't the way to go and then went back to using more residual herbicides. There's some other weeds that really the use of Treflan and Prowl really benefit. Things like Russian thistle and kochia is seen here. I think producers who have foregone a PPI herbicide, we get some spring rains, can have a real mess out there. And I don't know if everyone's familiar with Russian thistle, but it looks like a fairly innocent little weed there. But each one of those, if not controlled, can get to be 4 or 5 feet in diameter and be a real problem. So again, we get real good control on those from the pre-plant herbicides as well. Pre-emergence herbicides are probably the things that have fallen off in use since Roundup Ready has come upon the scene. Just a little bit more trouble at planting, and people figure that I can get some of those other weeds that Treflan doesn't control with the Roundup. But I think we're seeing with increasing morning glory problems that these herbicides have more value maybe than what people have thought before. Again, there's a wide range there. Some limitations on soil types as we get into sandier soils, things like Cotteran and Dyrex are a little more dangerous. Probably need to go with Caprol there. Staple does a pretty good job, but again, some rotational crop concerns there. One, I guess, benefit we have in our area from an activation standpoint is the majority of the irrigated cotton is under center pivots, so that allows to plant, put out our pre's, and run the pivot to put on a half inch or so, which is often needed for germination of the crop, and this also works very well to activate the pre-emerges. So that's something I think people need to probably use more of, especially if they're having problems with morning glory. And again, this is just an example And this front plot where we have Treflan and Caporal overlay, you know, as far as Palmer amaranth escapes, we can have very few to deal with. So again, our Roundup's helping us on perennials and some other weeds there that are problems. From post standpoint, again, that was prior to Roundup Ready. You couldn't find a post direct rig on the High Plains, I don't think, just because it just didn't, our weed situation didn't fit the use of that. But that's really become a common practice. Again, with the development of Flex, I think a lot of people have parked their children sprayers and maybe don't want to use them anymore, but I think there is still some real value there if we're going with tank mixes with Direx or something later in the season that we do need to post direct. But I think we have seen an increase in folks putting things with the Roundup, staple or dual, kind of depending upon their weed mix, but a lot of combinations with the Roundup. I think you can see in this slide, this plot was dual plus Roundup, and in the background you see the Roundup only, where we're getting some reemergence of Palmer amaranth. So we can get some good residual control adding something to the Roundup, and I think that also helps from a resistance management standpoint. Okay, in terms of new technology, I think, again, as of today, we haven't documented any Palmer amaranth resistance problems. That's not to say they wouldn't show up next year or the year after that. I guess there are some things coming down the line that can help us a little bit there. The stack of Liberty Link and Glytol cotton. I guess I'm pretty excited about the dicamba resistance being developed. That would certainly help us on some other weeds along with Palmer amaranth, Morning Glory, which is a continuing problem, and some of the perennial weeds that we have. Banville dicamba does an excellent job on those, things like field bindweed, Texas blueweed, that certainly help there. And then the 2,4-D cotton, I don't know about that. Again, this was an example of some trials we had this year where we really loaded up in terms of tolerance. Far more dicamba than you would ever put out during a growing season, but excellent tolerance there. So to me, on down the road, that gives us some real hope if we do have some resistance problems to face. So I guess just to sum up kind of the West Texas perspective, again, Palmer amaranth has long been the dominant weed that we've had to deal with in that region. There's been no documented resistance to date. Keep our fingers crossed. And I think a lot of this is due to the fact that producers quickly figured out they couldn't get by without using PPI, especially some pre and post herbicides, along with tillage and Roundup Ready or Roundup Ready cotton. And we hope that if they continue these practices, and I think with Flex, it allows more potential for going more in the Roundup only system. But I hope the caution or the issue has been raised to a sufficient level that everyone will feel comfortable continue to do what they do, and hopefully we can either delay for as long as possible resistance development. Okay, thank you.
Any questions for our speaker?
Got one at the back.
Hey,
yes. Question was, what percent of producers in our area are using residuals early? It's probably declined a little bit from that 90% in the 90s, but I would think if you considered either a PPI or something at planting, that's probably, I'd say, close to 100%. I would think that probably the DNAs is still at least 50%. And then I think, again, the Morning Glory problems have really driven people to use more Caporal and those type products at planting, trying to get some help there.
Any other questions?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.